Tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 62. This, believe it or not, this is the fourth message I've given out of the book of Psalms in the last six messages. Why is that? Does anybody know? Who can tell me why? Huh? No. That's where I am in my Bible reading. I'm in the book of Psalms. In fact, I just finished the book of Psalms this morning. And so guess where you're going to get it from next week? Probably. You never can tell. And 1 year I went and I said to myself, I said, I'm going to take, and as I read through the Bible, I'm going to take and write one message out of every book in the Bible. I'd have 66 messages done. And when I got done with reading through the Bible that year, I had 365 messages written. 365. I mean, that's how much, and I mean, I was just pretty much touching the surface. I had like 12 messages out of the book of Genesis. I mean, you know, Genesis got a lot in it. Exodus got a lot in it. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, all of them, a lot in them. You get to Psalms, and there's really a lot. So, but we're going to be looking at Psalm 62 tonight. Starting at verse number 1, it says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insertion of the workers of iniquity. Who wert thou a tongue like a sword, and bent their bow to shoot their arrows, even bitter words?" I'm in the wrong one, ain't I? Yes, I am. Let's go back over to, I'm going, wait a minute, hold it. That's not what I'm doing, because my text verse I read right over, and I'm thinking, that isn't what it is. Let's go to Psalm 62. "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him continually my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. Shall he be, and as a teetering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done here. They'll be for your honor and glory. I want to be a help to the people tonight. And I know if they listen, that everything that they do and will be for your honor and glory alone. I just thank you so much for the church and the people who come so faithfully. I pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of tonight's message is, I Shall Not Be Moved. And, you know, I want to talk to you for a little while about being moved. You know, there are two verses that I want to look at tonight, verse 2 and verse 6. Those are my two text verses. And I want you to look closely at these, because I believe that in here, David talks about what we should and what we should not do. If you look at verse 2 again, it says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be what?
Greatly
moved." David's saying, I will not be greatly moved. Now, greatly in this tense means to be moved with much effort. It's much like a 300-pound lineman pushing against another 350-pound lineman. They're pushing against each other. It's going to take a lot of strength for each of them to move the other person. You look at a 120-pound woman who runs out of gas, and the gas station is 200 feet away. It's going to be hard for her to push that car from where she is to that gas station, but she probably can do it. But it's going to take a lot of effort to get from point A to point B. A child trying to move furniture. You know, I can remember when our kids were growing up, they wanted to help move furniture. They would get there and they would push and they would, and they would grunt and everything else, trying to move furniture, and they couldn't do it. You know, but they might move it a little ways. And boy, they were just so happy that they could move it just a little bit. But you know, it's much like a weightlifter who is lifting to his max. He gets to a point where he's just pushing up the absolute most that he can lift. And he's just pushing it so very hard and so slowly, but yet it's still moving. It's much like moving a football sled or a 3,000-pound ball. You know, it would be difficult to do, but a person could do it. It'd take a lot of effort to do this. In verse 2, David is saying, if he is moved, it's going to take a lot of effort to get him to move from where he is to where a person wants him to be. In fact, they will probably never get him to where they want him to be, but they will push against him to where he will not be greatly moved. You know, he's saying that for him to go from one place to another, and for him to compromise just a little bit, is going to take a great effort. You know, this is the same with many Christians today. You know, they'll listen to country instead of rock and roll. They'll listen to Christian contemporary instead of listening to hard rock. They'll watch PG-13 movies instead of R. Or they'll watch R instead of X. They'll compromise their stand just a little bit. Just a little bit they'll compromise. Just a little bit they'll be greatly moved. Just a little bit. It'll take a lot of effort for them to get there, but you know what? They're going to move just a little bit. There was an old preacher one time, and this is what he said. He said, if in the 1920s, if this was Christianity and this was sin, there was a distance between the two of them. He says, in the 2000s, where we are now, he says, this is Christianity and this is sin. That's how close Christianity is to sin. He says, we have moved from there all the way over to here. Why? Because we've been greatly moved. We've been greatly moved. You know, David is saying that he's going to have standards. He's going to have morals. He's going to have convictions. He's saying that his standards of dress are going to be what they probably should always have been, but he may change. What he listens to, he's going to continue to listen to what he listens to, but he might listen to something else. How he raises his family, he's going to continue to keep godly principles in their lives, but he may let them date other girls. How he will correct his children may not be the way that his father corrected him. He may have a time out instead of a whooping. Where he goes, he may compromise also. It's going to be hard for him to do it, but he might be moved. He will have morals, you know, what he watches, but then again, he's not really too sure about what he watches on TV anyway.
You know, oh, a little cuss word isn't too bad, right? Oh, a little bit of nudity isn't too bad. You know, the things that he looks at, well, you know, it's hard to not look at billboards. You know, what kind of people that he allows in his home? Well, you know, Joab and his family, even though they aren't just the right people, I'm going to allow them in my home. Where his thought pattern is going to be different. His convictions. You know, he's going to stand for truth, but however, you know, not necessarily all the time. He isn't going to let a lot of people bother him too much. You know, he's going to look at what man's motive is, and he's going to try hard to stay away from it. You know, they say that one thing, but they mean something else. They go with every wind of doctrine, so to speak. He sees his only hope, though, is to put his trust in God. I want you to look at verse 6 again. It says in verse 6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." David's saying, you know what? I will not, no way, no how, be moved. Zero. I'm not going to be greatly moved. I will not be moved. Nobody is going to take and force me to do anything I don't want to. Nobody's going to force me to do something contrary to the Word of God. Nobody's going to force me to do something that I know is not right. That's what David's saying. But what caused him to go from verse 2 to verse 6? I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to look at it. There was something that happened to David between verse 2 and verse 6 that made him say, well, I'll be, you know, greatly moved. I won't be greatly moved. You know, it might move me a little bit to, no, I am not going to be moved. Period. Let's take a look at what happened. Let's take a look at what happened to David between verse 2 and verse 6. He's going to stand alone for what he believes in. He will not let people sway him. He is going to have standards. He's going to have morals. He's going to have convictions. And he's going to stand on them. Period. He'll have standards of dress and how he presents himself before people. He's going to have standards of what he listens to. And he's not going to move from it. He's going to have standards of how he raises his family. He's going to have standards of how he corrects his kids. He's going to have standards of where he goes. He's going to have morals of what he watches. He's got morals of the things that he uses in his words, in his vocabulary. He's going to have morals on the things that he looks at. He's going to have morals on what kind of people that he's going to allow in his house. And he's going to have morals on his own thought pattern. Not only that, but take a look at verse 5 real quick. It says in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from" who? Him, from God. He's saying, listen, he is going to stand on what the truth of the Word of God is. He's not going to let people who are different or have different beliefs sway him in the way that they are in. He is going to hold forth to "Thus saith the Lord." You know, what we need is we need people like that today. We need people that are going to stand firm on their convictions. You know, what is the difference between a preference and a conviction? What's that? A preference is something that you may change your mind on. A conviction is that something that you'll stand on to the death. A conviction is something that you'll back up by God's word. That's a conviction. He's saying, I'm going to have conviction. I will not be moved off my conviction. I know what God's word says. And I am going to hold to God's word. He's going to screw himself into the ground and he's going to stand up to adversities. He's going to stand up to injustice. He's going to stand up to contradiction of the world. He's going to stand up to those who want to take the word of God away. He's going to stand up to oppression who want to take his children away. People say, well, that'll never happen in the United States. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. We need to stand firm on what we know is God's word. You know, this preacher is not going to be moved. I am not going to be greatly moved. I am not going to be moved one little bit from what I believe. Though people come through the doors of this church and want to have a different Bible, not have the same soul winning we do, not have me preach quite so hard, not preach on sin, not preach on the blood of Jesus Christ, not preach against alcohol, not preach about the queer lifestyle, not preach about drugs. There are those that don't want preachers to preach on that anymore. And believe me, there are efforts in our legislature right now to stop it. There are people across this nation that want to silence preachers from preaching the Word of God. This preacher won't do it. As long as I'm behind this pulpit, this church is going to have the old-time religion. We're going to have the old-time Bible. We're going to have the old-time preaching, the old-time singing. We're going to have the old-time soul winning, the old-time revival. People are going to get saved the old-fashioned way. Somebody say amen. Man, you guys sleeping? Whoa! I'll tell you what, it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that people are going to get saved. We got to realize that. We got to understand that. We got to understand that we can't move off of that. Souls. Oh, yeah, we got to be hot. I will not be greatly moved. I will not be moved at all. Period. You know what? I am going to take and screw myself into this platform up here. I'm going to screw myself down so tight that I cannot be moved. I'm going to screw myself down so tight that nothing can take and move me from the Word of God. You know, we've got too many milquetoast preachers today. They'll preach any little thing they feel is right. They won't preach sin. They won't preach separation. They won't preach salvation. They won't preach anything like that. Why? Because they don't want to offend people. Well, I'd rather offend a person and get them into heaven than to not offend them and see them go to hell. Amen? You know, Satan will all, with all of his power and his little limbs, can try to move me all they want, but I'm going to screw myself down so tight that they can't do it. They can try to discourage me. They can try to threaten me. They can do anything they want, accuse me falsely, blaspheme me. They can try to make me do immoral sins, whatever, but I guarantee I shall not be moved. Period. Come on, old funny face. Try to move me just a little bit. Listen, a fire won't move me. A fire will not move me. A heart attack won't move me. Having my loved ones die will not move me. Listen, I am not going to be moved. Satan can do anything he wants to try to get me discouraged. A plane crash won't move me. Come on, Satan. Try to move me. Go ahead. I'm anchored in the rock of Jesus Christ. I'm anchored in the solid foundation. I shall not be moved. There's no way I am going to move off of what God has called me to do. You know, this pastor in this church will be anchored in the rock which cannot be moved, grounded, firm, and deep in the Savior's love. You know, how many people today, how many preachers today across this nation are not grounded, are not solid in what they believe anymore? How many, just like Paul said, go with every wind of doctrine? Just like a ship going to and fro in the sea. How many are like that? How many actually stand up and would preach a message like this? Not very many. Listen, what we need to realize is that there's too many people today that are being greatly moved. Oh, they'll move just a little bit. It isn't long and they move a little bit more. It isn't long and they move a little bit more. And a little more, and a little more, and a little more. Pretty soon they don't look like anything different. They're just like every other mainstream religion. Listen, I guarantee I'm grounded, firm, on the rock that cannot be moved. I'm not going to move. All the other churches, all the rest of the preachers can do whatever they want, but I am not going to be moved. That's what David's saying. He says, you know what? He says, I was going to be greatly moved, but then I found out that... Let's take a look at verses 5 from... Verse 3 on. It says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and as a teetering fence. They only consult and cast him down from his excellency. They delight in his lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou openly upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, His rock and my strength and my refuge in the Lord. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Listen, what David is saying here, he says, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care how much money they're making. I don't care how much fame they have. I don't care how big a church they have. I don't care what they're doing. I will not be moved. At first I said, you know what? Maybe a little bit of compromise will be okay. Maybe just a little bit of doing things a little bit different will be okay. Maybe we should have a band. Maybe we should have a worship team. Maybe we should have everything that all the big church... You know what? Maybe we should have dancing up here like so many churches have. Listen to me very carefully. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. You know, people say, well, you're not going to have a very big church. I don't care. God's going to give us who we have. God will add to the church daily those that He wants to be here. God will add to us daily of those that need to be saved. You know, listen to me. I will not be moved. What about you? Where are you at? Are you greatly moved? Will you go by every wind of doctrine? Will you take and follow the crowd? Or will you dig in and say, I'm not going to be moved? How many of you know what you believe, why you believe it, and can prove it by the Word of God? If you don't, you better find out. Because if you don't know, I guarantee that you're going to be moved. I guarantee it. And it's not going to be a greatly move, it's just going to be a real easy slide. What we need to realize is that we need to know the Word of God. We need to hide God's Word in our heart that we don't sin against Him. We need to have a comeback for every question that is asked us. You know, so many times people say to me, well, you know what? You just preach way too hard. Yeah, I do. I'm old. I preach loud because I'm hard of hearing. Amen? I like to preach to myself. Amen? Dr. Jack Hiles, he was probably one of the most favorite preachers I ever heard in my entire life. And you know, you could always tell Dr. Hiles when he would start up, and he would be real soft, and he wouldn't be very boisterous. All of a sudden, you would see him go like this. And when he did that, look out! Because I'll tell you what, he wanted to hear himself, and he was hard of hearing. He just took his hearing aids out, and he was going to let it rip. Well, let me tell you something. That's the way I am. I'm going to let it rip. I feel that we need old-time preaching. I mean, I have been under some of the best men of the day. I can remember listening to old, gravelly John R. Rice. As a young boy, he would come to our tent meetings and preach. I can remember the old men of the faith standing up and preaching. And I'll tell you what, they preached hard. They preached salvation. They preached separation. Listen, what we need to realize is this. We need preachers who are going to take and say, I will not be moved. I'm going to stay right where I am. I'm going to use the same book I've always used, and I'm not going to be moved. There are people that would like for me to use a different version of the Bible. I told them, I said, why? I have the Word of God. Why should I use something that isn't the Word of God? Well, they're all the same. No, they're not. No, they're not. If you don't believe me, come on Wednesday night and I'll show you. What you need to realize is this. I am not going to move off of what I know is right. Period. I will not be moved. Listen, are you screwed into the ground? Are you on the rock which cannot be moved? Are you standing fast and sure on your standards, on your morals, on your convictions? Or do you go to and fro from doctrine to doctrine? From the doctrine of the day club, so to speak, not knowing what you believe or why you believe it. You know, I've challenged people many times to give me 50 things that they believe in and then prove it by God's Word. 50 things, that isn't very many. If you can do 50 things and say, this is why I believe this, 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 and here it is by God's Word. Those are what's known as convictions. Man, that's what we need today. We need people who will not be moved. We need people who will screw themselves down and say, no, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand firm. No matter what the world does, no matter what popular opinion does, no matter what the government does, I am going to stand firm. After all, what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They got thrown in the fiery furnace. They got burned up, right? Nope. What happened to Daniel in the lion's den? Hey, his God took care of him, didn't he? You know, I can tell you time after time after time of God rescuing people from the lion's mouth, so to speak, because they were not going to be moved. They were going to stand fast. They were going to be unmovable. always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, we need to stand fast. We need to stay firm in what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. The kids in school, I challenged them here last year. I said, I want you to take and just give me 25 things that you believe in, why you believe in them. 25, that was it. And I gave them the first five. And I gave them references so they knew what to do. So they only had 20 to give me. Do you know that there's only one that could do it? And that was Ovid. And he brought me back 75. He says, Pastor, after I got going at this, he says, I found 21. I found 22, 23, 24, 25. He says, I couldn't stop. He said, these are the things that I believe in, and I can prove them from God's Word. I said, well, then you've got 75 convictions that you need to live your life by. 75 convictions that you need to live your life by. You know, we have a society today that says, well, I'll be greatly moved. After all, everybody's doing it. Everybody's... whatever. I look at the abortion issue. I think there's an atrocity that we kill babies. I do. And I'd be standing up here and I'll say it too. I believe it's a murder. I do. And I believe that everyone who commits that needs to be punished. That's just the way I am. I believe in the sanctity of life. And I can prove it by God's Word. It's a conviction. Listen, what we need to realize is this. We need to have our convictions. We need to be able to prove them by God's Word. And then we need to stand on them. And we need to say, I'm not going to be moved off of them. This is what I believe, and this is why I believe it, and there is no way, no how, anybody is going to move me from what I believe, period. Because I can prove it by God's Word. But there's too many that will say, well, I'll be greatly moved. After all, it's popular. After all, the government says it's okay to do it. Well, you know what? Don't tell anybody I told you this, but I don't trust the government. I don't trust the government. And I don't trust our government leaders any farther than I can throw them. You know, I believe that God gave us President Trump for a reason. And I believe that Vice President Pence is there for a reason. And I believe that we've got the Congress that we have now for a reason. I believe that we have the Senate now for a reason. And if they don't do what God wants them to, I'll tell you what, folks, it's all over. I hate to say that, but it's all over. I believe that God has given us the last chance right now before he says, okay, folks, that's it. It's all over. You know, we were talking about what was going on in Israel this morning, and I didn't know that that Israel had went into Syria this morning and bombed, but when I said it in Sunday school, but Syria shot off 100 rockets into Israel today, and Israel retaliated. And the reason they did was because Israel was given humanitarian aid to the White Hats. How many of you know what the White Hats were?
White
or the White Helmets. How many of you know what the White Helmets are? What's that? Yeah, what they are is humanitarian aid for Syria. And they were being persecuted and they were being executed by the Syrian army. And they made a plea to England and the United States to get them out of there as soon as possible. England and the United States called Netanyahu and said, we would like for you to do this for us. We cannot get people in there fast enough to do this. Can you do this for us? Netanyahu says, we'll do it. They sent in their security forces into Syria at night, and they took 600 white helmets out. And as they did, Syria started shooting rockets into Israel. Israel just happened to have jets in the air. And they saw where these rockets were coming from. Yeah, needless to say, they got most of them. Yeah. So, you know, listen, right now Israel is getting the north, Syria is coming down on them, and the south, Gaza, is coming up on them along with Egypt. I mean, you know, they're getting it from both sides. But you know what I know? I know how it all ends. I know how it ends. That's why we need to not be moved. We need to know what we believe. We know why we believe it. And we can prove it by God's word. And we need to stand and not be moved. I guarantee if we shall not be moved, we're going to come out in the end. I guarantee it. What about you tonight? Are you willing to stand and not be moved? Are you willing to tell God that you'll screw yourself into the ground and you'll not be moved no matter what goes on, no matter what popular opinion does? Are you willing to tell God today that you'll read your Bible and pray daily? Remember, you're here. And you may say, Pastor, I'm ready to do that. But will you do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? We need to realize that if we're not going to move, we're going to have to do it every single day. We need to take and make sure that we're screwed in and that nothing can greatly move us. I shall not be moved. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, I just pray that you would help us that we do not be moved from our convictions. Father, there's many out there, many religions, many things that are going to try to move us and try to get our eyes off of you. But Father, I just pray that you would help us to know your word, that would hide your word in our heart. Help us to realize that we need your help to get us through these times of adversity. Father, just pray that you guide and direct us. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've been greatly moved. I can remember where I was when I was saved. But you know what? I've moved from there. I have moved from the place I was to where I am today. And I need to get back to where I was. Would you pray for me tonight? Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, quietly put your hand up, put it down. Yes, I see those hands. God bless you. Yes, see those hands. Anyone else? What we need to realize is that God can put us back to where we were if we'll only allow him to. He hasn't moved, we did. We need to go back. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the hands that were raised, that were honest, Lord, that they've moved from where they were to where they are now. Father, I pray that you might help them to get back to that place where they need to be. Help us all, every one of us in this room, that we will not move from the standards that we have. And that's the word of God. Help us to realize, Lord, that you have everything in perfect control. All we need to do is do your will. Father, be with us now, I pray. Guide and direct us in all that we do and say. And we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnals for a minute.